We want to welcome you today. If you're a guest, we're so glad you're here, and we hope the Spirit of the Lord will touch your life, and we hope someone here has already extended a hand of fellowship to you and made you feel welcome. And that's what the Lord does for each of us. When we come to Him, He welcomes us into His life, and we want to be a reflection and an expression of God's hospitality and His love. And to do that also, we're trying to help people understand about their lives, how to live this thing we call the Christian life. Last week, we spoke about worries. If you missed that message, you can go to our website and you can watch that message if you would like to receive some help about worry. This week, I wanted to talk about regret. I found a definition here. It can refer to sorrow aroused by circumstances beyond one's control or power to repair. It's an expression of distressing emotion as sorrow. Regret can paralyze us in the past, interfere with the present happiness, and steal motivation for the future. I read about a particular individual that said, "I regret signing a loan for a friend. She paid on the loan for a couple of years and then suddenly stopped, and I am now stuck with a $40,000 tab for being nice. We took care of each other's children and trusted each other." You know, the Bible tells us don't co-sign. Don't do that. She did it, and she now has a tremendous regret in her life. Matt wrote a poem about regret. Matthew West. He said, "Hello, my name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief." I read about Patricia Rayburn. She honestly shares about a regret that she has in her life after she aborted not one, but two children. She writes, "I had told myself that an abortion would end my problems, not complicate them by bringing an innocent life into my own upheaval. I swallowed Satan's lie." You know, there are scriptural references to regret as well. Peter's one of them. Remember, at the Last Supper, "I'll die for you," Peter said to Jesus. Yet when the time came, he denied the Lord three times and affirmed even that he didn't know the Lord by using vulgar language. Do you think he regretted that? The Apostle Paul recounts his life. And his life was a little different than Peter's. He didn't get to walk with the Lord for 3 years and deny him. But prior to becoming a Christian, he persecuted the church. He hurt physically, emotionally, and spiritually Christian men and women, and thought he was doing God a favor. He regretted that. And he recounts his story later on in the gospel account. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "For I am least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Remember Popeye saying that? Paul is saying, I cannot go back and change the past. No, I'm going to have to learn how to deal with the past, to live in the present, and look forward to the future. And Paul had to deal with that. Peter had to deal with that. In fact, Jesus helped him. You remember in John chapter 21, Jesus had risen from the dead and he was still on the earth before he ascended into heaven. And it had been a little bit of time since Jesus had last appeared to his disciples. Some time had gone by. It was only a 40-day period the whole time between his resurrection and his ascension. But some days went by and Peter went back to fishing. And there he was fishing and pulling the nets in and with his family. And there he saw a man on the seashore and he knew it was Jesus. He recognized him. He jumped in the water and swam and couldn't wait to see him. And of course, Peter, he can't wait to get close to the Lord. But the Lord addresses him about his love. And the purpose of that was he was helping him remember what he had done in his denial. He had first affirmed he was going to be this superman and stand up for God, and he fell flat on his face. Jesus didn't address him in that way in order to take his face and push him down in the mud in it. No, he did it for the learning curve. Jesus was there to help Peter, to help him with his regret. Regrets are something that I think all of us deal with. You ever thought that? That would be that. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. You ever thought that before? Nobody here talking to the wrong group. That's what a regret can feel like. Like you're carrying a ball and chain. I got an even better picture than that. Here's one. Here's the way it can feel. A little chihuahua right there on your pants leg. Just won't let go. That nag just follows you wherever you are. You know, God, the Lord Jesus, he helped Peter. He said, Peter, you know, you denied me. I mean, that's what he's saying to Peter. He said, but the day is coming when you're not going to deny me. I want you to look to the future because you are going to give your life for me someday. The Apostle Paul, he writes over here in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. What does he say? He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And you say, well, you know, that's really great, Mike. But, you know, you're talking about the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. But, I mean, I'm not either of those two guys. And I'm living in a different world today. I'm living in this world, and I'm, you know, I'm just me, and I've got these regrets. How, I know God helped them, but how can God help me? The average Christian today. Because we all have regrets. I ran across a funny little video I wanted to show you about regrets and how frustrating they can be. So, Linda, whenever you get ready.
Oh, no. Rod, you sent this email, reply all. You hit reply all. you know, I was wrong. You just sent this email to me. Could you imagine?
For drivers who want to get the most out of their cars, it's Bridgestone or nothing.
I just couldn't resist. I mean, that's kind of today where we live, you know, with computers and emails and what you're sending and not sending. And you probably regretted at some point sending something that you shouldn't have sent. And you've probably regretted doing something in your life that you shouldn't have done, or maybe that you should have done. I mean, think about your regrets. Maybe there's one or two things that come up in your mind. And they're like that little chihuahua. They're like that ball and chain. What are they? Just bow your heads for a minute, because this is not just about all of us. This is also about you and where you are. Is there something in your past that is just eating your lunch? Well, you've confessed it before the Lord. You've 1,000 times. But it still comes back to haunt you. Maybe it was something in your adolescence during high school. Maybe it was the way you treated your parents, or maybe it was the way you treated your children. Maybe it was a woulda, shoulda, coulda, or a what if. If I just would have done this, if just would have happened, if this person would have just made this decision, then my life would be different today. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a failure. Maybe it's a mistake. And nobody else has to deal with it but just you. What are you doing with that? Is the past paralyzing you in the present? Is it keeping you from being everything that God wants you to be today? Now you can lift your heads up as we've thought about that individually. And you probably had one or two things come up. What I want to do is I want to help you. I've asked the Lord to help me. I have them too. And I think that God, I don't think, I believe, from what I know in the scriptures, that God has a remedy to help us with this. Because he gave us these memory banks, and our memories don't just remember the good things, they also remember the bad things, don't they? And we have to learn what to do with those. This lady, Patricia, that I referenced earlier, she wrote a letter. To her two children. She said, "Dear babies, this is Mama. You will know my voice. Even though we were together for such a short time, I did a bad thing. I didn't trust God. I didn't understand that God would have made everything okay. I was like Peter, who looked at the waves and not at Jesus. And when he looked at the waves, he started to sink down and down and further down. That's how I felt. I was sinking. And when the doctor said you were growing inside of me, that's how I felt. So I didn't know how to love you. I was afraid. I made so many mistakes. I let fear convince me that more babies would just make things worse. Instead, look what I did. I robbed us. I robbed you, taking your own lives. I didn't think I was strong enough, and so I robbed myself of all the joy you would have brought me to. Brought all of us, your sisters, your family, and for each of you, your father. I thought we had more, we would have more problems, that we wouldn't have enough money, that we didn't have enough time, that we didn't have enough love. But I just didn't know then that God is bigger than all those things and God would make everything all right. I didn't know, she says. But I do know you are in heaven, waiting for us and waiting for me. And I know you've been waiting, looking every day, wondering when I will get there. I'm trying to get there, to learn what God wants me to learn so I can make it to you. Now, I thought that was an interesting letter. I think that Patricia is trying to say several things in this letter that all of us could probably learn from. These past events are headed somewhere. Let me draw a little diagram for you. That is what Russell is telling me. That's the diagram of a black hole and the progression. In this progression, this is the event horizon. And this would be the point of no return. In some ways, resembles the Christian life. When you get to this point in physics, the event horizon, you can't go back from here, from right here. And then you will progress, and everything is being pulled this way, and nothing can resist that pull, that gravitational pull. Nothing, not even light. It's all going to be sucked into there. It's called the star eater. The Christian life, in some respects, is like this. Now, if I were to draw another picture for you, and this is the event horizon, and this is the point where nothing can return, all on this line here. Where would you think death is? Would you say it's right here? It's actually right here. This is the point of death. This is important. All of your past regrets, all those failures, those sins, everything that's like that little chihuahua doesn't stop here. Now, when you die, you go to be present with the Lord, and the Lord gives you a new body, but it's not your permanent body. It's a temporary body. And as of yet, when you die, if you were to die today, where would your physical body be? In the grave. No, God's not through with you yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, O death, where is thou sting? That stinger, not killing you eternally, will be fully realized not here at death when you go to be with the Lord in heaven. No, all that stuff is still being dragged on. It's still being pulled to where? To this place right here. One day, and it may be after your death, it may be after my death, it may be while we're alive. If we're blessed enough, there's going to be a shout. And in that shout, the Lord is going to return in the clouds. And when he does, all the saints who have died already, their bodies will be raised to the Lord Jesus, and there they will meet with all of those who've gone to be with the Lord, and the Lord is going to give them a brand new body. He's going to raise that old body that you have. And at that juncture, There's something very important that's going to happen. Let me draw another thing here. And what's going to happen is the judgment seat of Christ. And all that stuff that you did is going to be thrown into this fire. This is where the gravitational pull is pulling all that stuff. All your failures, all your sins, all the memories you have of everything, it's all going to be thrown right into that fire. And here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says. It says, what you did for the Lord as a Christian, what does it say? What will it do? It will endure. Everything that you did for the Lord as a Christian, you know, like when you were nice to someone, when you expressed love to someone, when you held somebody's hand, when you prayed for someone, when you were studying your Bible so you could ask God how to change your life, all those kinds of little things, when you gave somebody a cup of water because they were thirsty, or you found someone that was hungry and they didn't have anything to eat, so you took them into, you know, Whataburger and bought them a burger. All that kind of stuff is going to come out of that fire, and it's going to endure for how long? Forever. In fact, you're going to wear it. It's going to be the raiment of your new body, because what that's going to do is give glory to God. Because you allowed the Spirit of God to live through your life. But everything that you didn't do for the Lord, all that stuff where you deviated from God's plan, what does the Bible say it's going to do? It is going to burn up. Never be remembered. Forever, never, never. Gone. That day is coming. Now, we look forward to that day. In fact, you felt it a little bit already. Do you remember when you asked the Lord to come into your life and God saved you? And that was cool, you know? That was like awesome, you know? That was like, you know, you knew something different. But then something else happened. You were approached, possibly, or you read in the scriptures where it says that when you become a Christian in private, God expects you and commands you, in fact, to come outside in public and make what you did in private public, so that everyone will know that you're not ashamed and that you're excited that Jesus Christ lives in your life. And so what do? You follow the Lord in believers' baptism. You remember how you felt? How does this guy feel? You see, he's feeling like, man, the balls of just the ball and chain, it's gone, man. That little chihuahua just got drowned right there in the back of that picture. This guy's feeling so good because he's standing up for God. In other words, he's obeying God. He's doing what God wants him to do. Someday, we're going to fully realize this stuff we've been talking about, like redemption and the fact that God washed us and cleaned us and clothed us and seated us with Christ. All those things are a reality today, but we will not fully realize them, and I would suggest to you, not even when you die and go to heaven, but at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, it helps us to look forward, to think about these things, but nevertheless, we must deal with them in the present. How do we do that? I'm going to tell you how to do that, okay? I'm going to use one really good scripture that you're aware of, and that is Romans 8:28. Let's read that together. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I wrote this down, and then I'm going to shorten it for you, just to give you some thoughts about this confession that you need to use to meet your regrets head on. If you go to the book of Ephesians, there are three particular outlines in that book. One is that we sit with Christ. Another is that we walk with Christ. And the last one in Ephesians 6 says we stand with Christ. Standing is always the picture of resisting and fighting. It's a position of fighting from victory, a position of confidence that Christ is with us, and we are going to meet those things that are outside the paradigm of God's kingdom head on through Christ, not in of ourselves, but in Christ. We've got to do that with our regrets so they don't paralyze us. Here's what I wrote. When the regret comes to my mind, and who do you think puts it there? Who do you think helps you remember that? It's not God. It's the devil. I say, no, stop right there. Father, I am confident you are working this for my good for eternity. What's that called? Redemption. God's in the redeeming business. Did you know that Romans 8:28 says that God even knows how to turn bad things into good things? That's redemption. All those failures, all those sins, all those mistakes, all those what-ifs, all those would-ifs and should-ifs and could-ifs, God can turn every single one of them. He can redeem them so that they become valuable to Him. Father, I'm confident that you are working this for my good, for eternity. You have taught me. You are teaching me through this to better trust you and to be more dependent upon you. Not only have you taught me, you have used all those things to help me so that I can help others so they may not make the same mistake. I reject any regrets that are not of the Lord, and I choose to dream about the future that you have for me, and I choose to live for you in the present today. Today, here's what Apostle Paul said, I am what I am. I am thankful that you are working all of this out for my good and the good of others. That is our confession. Now I want you to, as we close, bow your heads. And we're going to close. And I want you to start practicing meeting those regrets one by one, confronting them with what God says. Yes, I know that I did this. Yes, I know that I made this mistake, that I failed. Yes, I know that I sinned, but I've already confessed that before the Lord. And He's forgiven me. And I now know that God is using that to make me a better Christian. He's using all of that to teach me how to do a better job in repentance, how to become more dependent upon Him. He's using all of that to help me so that I can help others and give Him glory. I know God wasn't looking for perfect people when He found me. He's using people like me and wanting people like me that trust Him. That trust Him. That's what I do with my regrets. And I'm telling you, it works. Because Romans 8:28 is true. God can turn every single one of your regrets into a valuable entity. And not only for this life, but the next life. And I tell the Lord, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't understand all of his mysterious ways. I just know that he is able and willing to do it because his word says so. And I'm going to trust him. Will you trust him? Will you start confessing what God has said towards your regrets and your worries, as we talked about last week? Thank you, Father, for our time together this morning and for helping us in real life, where the rubber meets the road. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.